You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Amazing, amazing. Take your seats. Audacious Church, I hope you're enjoying Mission Sunday. Oh, me and Daz are enjoying Mission Sunday. Are you guys enjoying Mission Sunday? All right. Well, I'm excited to be with you in church, to see the wonderful part of your face just there. It looks smiley. So good job. And I want to speak for just for a few moments about being the master of comfort. Don't know how good you are at comfort. I've got my couch here. It is very comfortable. And I like to be comfortable. And I've got a few different couch positions. This is intense couch position. And Roman couch position. It's making some of you feel uncomfortable. I apologize. And being comfortable is awesome. And we have a couch in our house that we've had for quite a long time. And it's kind of worn into the shape of my self. And it's very, very comfy. I love it. It's actually a couch and a half. It's got a cuddle couch and it's amazing. And when I was just a few years younger than I am now, I used to live in the United States of America for 2 years. And I experienced a lot of comfort. I experienced so much comfort that I came back with at least 4 extra stone from my time there. And it was very comfortable. And they're the home of the Lazy Boy recliner. Any Lazy Boy recliner fans? It's a bit of an American thing, but they have these gigantic armchairs that are kind of like a spaceship captain's chair, where you sit in it and there's buttons and levers that do all things, footrests and armrests and drink stations. And they can just literally, by the movement of one eyebrow, will instruct the chair to make you a refreshing beverage, so you don't have to move anywhere. They are amazing. And when I was in America, I had a car that was a huge station wagon. It was this big estate car. It was amazing. If you've seen any like 80s American movies, the big Griswold kind of station wagon that is as wide as it is long. It's just like this massive boat on wheels. And it was amazing. And you drive in the left-hand side of the car. Yes, you do. Drive in the left-hand side of the car. But what was so good about it was that there was no stick shift, no gear stick or handbrake in the middle, because it was all column shift for the gears, which meant the front seat was literally a couch. There was like 3 seats across the middle. And so you could drive however you like, obviously paying full attention to the road at all times. And it was fantastic. And I did quite a lot of long journeys, so having a comfortable car was pretty important. There was one particular time I was driving from St. Louis to Chicago, which is about a 12-hour trip. And we were taking all day and driving into the night to do it. And it can get a little bit boring because the highways are just straight. It's just like one road in a straight line for 6 hours until you run out of petrol and you stop and get some more and do another 6 hours in a straight line. But it was so comfy because I had this amazing car and it was like driving from a couch. And I would get the air conditioning on. It would be blowing my long locks and get a bit of 90s Hillsong praise and worship on. Any fans? It was great. I had a great time. All my teammates and colleagues would be asleep whilst I would be driving in this holy bubble on my car couch. And you just kind of, the time would just drift away as you got along the trip. And I remember one time I was driving, it was kind of 1 o'clock in the morning on this journey, and music was on, air conditioning, comfortable. And I then noticed some blue lights, like some ambiance in the room. I thought there's a new setting in the car, you know, where those changing LEDs that can just bring a different atmosphere. But within a few seconds, I realized that the blue flashing lights were just in the rearview mirror. And as all good Christians, as soon as you see the flashing blue lights in the mirror, immediately check what speed you're doing, if you're not currently aware. And so I looked down on my dashboard, and it was a slightly older dashboard where it only had a semicircle speedometer. And there's normally a needle on there to tell you where on that semicircle your speed is set. And I looked down there and there was no needle. I was like, where did that go? There's normally a needle. Only to find out that the needle had disappeared out the bottom end of the speedometer. And after a few moments, the blue lights caught up with me and pulled me over to inform me that he'd been trying to catch me up for 15 minutes. And I was, in fact, clocked at 115 miles an hour. Which was bad. Very, very bad. But I was totally oblivious. I was in this comfortable bubble, listening to Darlene, singing along with my air conditioning, and in such a comfort that I didn't notice that if I'd have just nudged the steering wheel or something had come out, I was a whisker away from impending doom and extremely dangerous. Please drive safe, everyone. Be aware of your speed at all times. But this malaise of comfort that I had fallen into had actually hidden the point that I was trying to get to Chicago alive. Like, that was the point. The point wasn't to be as comfy as I could possibly be. The point was to get there safely. And I forgot what the point was in this little coma of comfort and missed what I was doing there. And I think sometimes it's hard to remember that comfort isn't the prize. Comfort isn't the ultimate priority in our life. In fact, purpose should be our prize. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go around and sit on broken glass just to prove how much we love Jesus. But actually, you know, I'm hoping your seat is pretty comfy today. Feel free to, you know, adjust and get yourself comfy while we're here in church. But sometimes comfort can actually hide a thing from us and allow us to miss the point. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that comfort malaise. Sometimes it can happen in a bit of a food coma. Anybody guilty of the food coma where you've gone all out and all of the standards have gone? And, you know, yes. And we can be in that moment. But it's important that we make comfort our slave and don't allow comfort to be our boss. We want comfort to work for us, not restrict us or confine us or rob us from our destiny. And there's loads of people in the Bible who had this kind of battle between purpose and comfort. I'm thinking of the rich young ruler that came to see Jesus. And he was like, hey, I have got everything nailed. I've got all your commandments done. I'm really good at doing this. I'm well off. I'm comfortably well off. Ever heard that phrase? I just want to be comfortably well off. And he was sorted and he was like, actually, Jesus, could you let me know what I need to do to make sure I'm comfortably well off, even in the afterlife? Even when I get to heaven, what must I do just to make sure that everything is right? And Jesus wasn't mad at the question, but he did say, you may have missed the point a little bit. Comfort isn't the prize. Actually, why don't you sell everything that you have and give it to the poor? And it didn't say what his verbal response was, but it said the rich young ruler went away downhearted and wasn't ready to pay that price of purpose because comfort had become the main thing. Even with like great heroes of the Bible, King David, a great mighty warrior, one of the greatest kings of Israel, a man after God's own heart, he knew how it was to pursue purpose. When he came to fight Goliath, he was offered the best armor. And he said, no, I need to know what I'm comfortable with. I'm going to go with my shepherd's outfit, what I know God has called me to use. And he slayed Goliath, and it was amazing. But there is a sad account in the Bible where David was slightly older, and he'd come to the point, it says, at the time of year when kings went to war, David stayed at home. And that comfort had caused him to miss sight of what his purpose was as a king leading his nation out. And he stayed at home in the comfort of his palace. And if you know the story, whilst he was at home in the comfort of his palace, when he should have been at war, he made some pretty daft decisions. Some decisions that he would never have made if he was pursuing his purpose. But the malaise of comfort caused him to risk his family, his future. And the consequences were pretty horrendous. And even David fell like that. So what I just want us to think about now is the example that Jesus set of how he pursued purpose and kept comfort in its right place. Now, Jesus loved comfort. He was someone who loved a meal. He loved to sit down with the disciples, recline around the table, and have a good old feast, talk about life, talk about the kingdom. He loved to sit down. He loved to retreat off into a time of his own with God, and he would have prayer time. It often says about Jesus retreating off to have some time with him and God, some me time. And he was really good at that. But Jesus always kept purpose at the top of his list, at the top of his priorities, because his purpose was more important than everyday comfort. In fact, you know, we know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. Actually, the point of Jesus being here was to save mankind, to bring forgiveness for all of us. And so his mission wasn't to come and have the comfiest life. His mission was to come and fulfill the purpose. And what I want us to do is be a church that loves comfort, enjoys comfort, and keeps it in its place. And because comfort on its own is not fulfilling. I don't know whether you've gone for that quick fix of something that might gratify you or it might be like a, I'm not speaking from experience, but like a greasy kebab. Seems so appealing. You're like, someone told me, I could just have a kebab. It would be amazing. And even as one is exchanging the money over the counter, you can start to feel the actual regret of the decision that you've made, because you know it's going to make you feel terrible. And yet that kind of comfort, gratification is not satisfying in the long term. And comfort is not there to be the only prize. It's actually there to equip us and enable us to pursue our purpose. So there's a few things that Jesus did that I want to look at. And Jesus knew that the meeting wasn't the prize. Actually, a spiritual gathering wasn't the main thing. And there's an account in the Bible, I just want to read it to you now, when the disciples had this amazing church service on the top of a hill. It's in Matthew 17. Verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. No way. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters. Let's get a couch. Let's make this a permanent thing. I'm going to have a cuddle couch. Elijah, you can have the lazy boy with... Moses, you look like more of a beanbag hipster kind of guy, and you can sit over there. Let's set up all this and let's stay here. Verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man have been raised from the dead." Like the spiritual moment, the gathering, the church service of your life of intense kind of presence of God was powerful and was amazing. But it was to equip them to fulfill the works of service. It was actually, Jesus didn't want to stay there. It was like, this is done with God's hand, stamp of authority on me so that we can go and fulfill the purpose. Guys, this meeting here in church, it's not the end goal. Like the point of church is not just to make everyone feel fuzzy on the inside, although awesome if you do. But actually the point of church is to equip the saints for work of service. To actually equip the saints to actually help the people that don't know God yet to experience that forgiveness, to experience that love, to experience that warm, fuzzy feeling inside themselves. Jesus didn't want to stay on the mountain in a shelter. He was like, guys, in fact, don't even talk about that until we've got purpose on track. And Jesus had his eyes set on the cross and what he was here to do. Another thing, Jesus knew that purpose wasn't always convenient. There's many things that Jesus had to do that was inconvenient. Being born in a shed is not particularly convenient. And having to run and hide with his parents in Egypt for part of his childhood was extremely inconvenient. And throughout his life, he had to make those choices. Growing up as a carpenter's son in Nazareth was not convenient. It wasn't the palace life. It wasn't royalty. But he was there for a reason, for a purpose, to do what he was on the earth to do. And even when it came down to his entrance into Jerusalem, when he was ready, I'm going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. At least then can we have a milk float or some kind of procession that is, you know, a station wagon or something, guys. And there to play his part in history, to fulfill the prophecy of 400 years ago, he entered on a donkey, a colt that he found tied up, to fulfill the prophecy that God had set up his purpose in advance. And he entered Jerusalem, not in the comfiest way, not in the most convenient way, but in a way that fulfilled his purpose. And I guess that's our challenge today. What's more important to us, comfort or purpose? The way that we live our life, to pursue purpose is going to be inconvenient at times. Like doing exercise and having a healthy body and a healthy lifestyle is not particularly convenient sometimes. Who knows when it's time to work out or when it's time to go for a run, there is inconvenient. And there are a million things that you could do or should do or seems appealing. And you know you should be going for a run and yet all of a sudden you need to sand the skirting boards or something that can distract you because the effort of going there. Well, as we invest into exercise, into making our bodies healthy, then the purpose actually returns to our body. We're actually able to do more. As the same with food. It'd be very easy just to stick a ding dinner in the microwave and kind of crack on, and yet it's more inconvenient to create a healthy meal, to actually buy the healthier ingredients that for some reason are more important than more expensive than the unhealthy ones. But that inconvenience of pursuing a healthy lifestyle, investing into ourselves, is actually helps us to fulfill our purpose. And when you're building something, you got to do it the right way. All these examples, we know that if we put purpose first, then comfort can become our slave and not our master. And I guess Jesus knew that it was not, purpose is not just about me. Jesus wasn't there just for himself. Actually, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was contemplating going to the cross, in Matthew 26, in verse 36, and Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus weighed up the cost and said, "My comfort comes second to the purpose that God has called me to do." And I just wonder what our church would look like if we were brave enough to make that choice of actually saying the purpose that God has called us to do as a church, the purpose that God has called me to as an individual is more important than the comfort of how I feel. I've just got a couple of friends who are just going to come and help me. This is Chip and Laura. Come on stage. And we've, as a church, we're committed to creating opportunities for you and for us to pursue purpose in our city and keep comfort in check. And one of the first things to do is to think about loving our world where God has placed us, right here in the city where you live, in Manchester, in Chester, in Sheffield, in Cardiff. We're committed to creating opportunities for you to love your world right where you live. Tell us a little bit about that, Laura.
Yeah, loads of ways to be involved with local missions as part of Audacious Church. And I remember the first time that we started talking about this idea of the big give. And if you've been involved with Audacious Church for any length of time, then you'll know that the big give is our way of reaching into the community and really serving them through acts of kindness and radical generosity. And the big give actually came about because of some of the statistics that we were hearing about child poverty. Even now, Salford still ranks as one of the most deprived areas in the UK. About a third of children living in poverty or in receipt of free school meals. And so we really felt prompted, a few people in church, to do something in response to those statistics that we were hearing about. I remember we pulled some resources together, and that following Christmas, a few years ago, we were able to feed 150 families in what would be our first Christmas big give. And it felt like a drop in the ocean at the time, but it's amazing to see now as we look back all that God has done through us stepping out of our comfort zones and being obedient to that. So we're now feeding hundreds of families year on year. And even this time last year, we were able to provide over 40,000 meals to families in our community as part of our COVID response. So really, it's been amazing to see how God is moving. And now working in partnership with local primary schools to form a strategic response to the issue of holiday hunger. And this summer, opportunities to be in four of our local primary schools, which is absolutely amazing. And that's something that anybody here can be a part of by giving a week or a couple of weeks. We've got teams in July and August who are going to be going into schools to do activities and programs, reaching literally thousands of children and serving them in that way. So it's going to be fantastic.
Amazing. So good. And so, church, we are committed to creating these opportunities for you. And certainly going from September, in every single campus, in every single location, every month, there will be a missional opportunity for you to engage with in our community, whether it's a social action project through the foundation, whether it's an evangelistic opportunity on the streets, sharing our faith. Every month, every campus, every location, there's going to be an opportunity for you to love your world through our stuff, which is going to be amazing. Chip, I just wonder if you could share with us, because as well as loving our world that we're in, there is an amazing opportunity to love the world and actually go out of our own city, out of our own comfort zone, and go on a missions trip to the world, go out into the world and make disciples. Tell us a little bit about the first trip that we did last year, what that was like, and what we're wanting to do this year.
Yeah, definitely. So if you guys look on your seats, you should have one of these little cards. Take a look at our four big missions. This is before the end of 2021 even finishes. Sheffield, Rwanda, Athens, and Cardiff. I can speak from experience that Bedworth last year was incredible. In fact, we've got people that are here that were on that mission. Is Lolita still in the room somewhere? I saw her before in the foyer. My son Cole was on that trip as well. Cole, give us a wave. Cole was 12 years old. He started lockdown the size of my wife, and now he's finishing lockdown taller than me. I don't know how that happened. But he came with us as well. We saw people get healed on the streets. We partnered with Life Church there in Bedworth and Nuneaton to see incredible stuff happen. Lolita was like a salvation ninja going for it. But you know, just because it's awkward to step up and talk to somebody about your faith, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
True.
You know, and I love the fact that you're talking about comfort. And I like to say comfort versus satisfaction. It might not be comfortable, but I tell you, we were 100% satisfied with what God did through us in Bedworth. It was incredible. So we encourage you guys, please go on audaciouschurch.com/missions. Which mission are you going on? Not if you're going on mission, which mission are you signing your family up to?
Absolutely. So although 2020 was going to be the year of mission, we got one of our six mission trips off the ground. We're committed to it, and we're going to get as many opportunities in 2021. We're trying to get four missions trips going September to Christmas this year. So in September, we're going to take a team to Sheffield, where we plant our campus there. We're going to have a week of strategic mission in the city of Sheffield, and you could be a part of that team. You could, maybe God's asking you right now to step out of that comfort zone a little bit and be a part of helping us plant that campus in Sheffield. And then in October, we're going to have our overseas mission trips, which are going to be amazing. Our Rwanda trip from 2020 is back on in 2021. So in October 2021, there's a team of us going out to Rwanda, working in a village just outside of the capital of Kigali, working with a church right there, helping widows and orphans, feeding the poor, and sharing the gospel on the streets in Rwanda. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And then at the end of October, we're going to take a team for 5 days to Athens, Greece. On the back of a church leaders conference there, there are teams from different churches from all over the world coming together to do a 5-day mission in the city of Athens, which will be amazing. Sharing our faith, seeing people get saved, and actually seeing what God can do. And it's going to be fantastic. And then in November, we're going to take another team here in the UK to Cardiff to help with our Cardiff church plant there. Again, we're going to be doing some social action stuff, sharing our faith and inviting people to church and inviting people to encounter God. And I guess the challenge is out there for us, Audacious. What are we going to be? Are we going to sit in the malaise of comfort, like me in my station wagon, hurtling along in my own little bubble? Or can we connect with purpose like Jesus did? And what would our church look like if we all were comfortable but kept comfort in check and made purpose the prize? Awesome. Thanks, church.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.